Welcome to the Electronic Entertainment Expo Extravaganza, only on GamingUncensored.com. D4.
Hey, what is up? Welcome to episode 2 of E4 2019. It is Saturday and we're already two episodes in, which is kind of nuts. I'm Tommy, of course. Jamie's sitting over there. I'm even getting tongue-tied now. How you doing, man?
I'd say I suck, because here's why I suck. We should have started the show like 20 minutes ago, but like, I've been sitting around all day twiddling my thumbs, trying to get through the EA crap, and I did that. And you were like, dude, let's start at 6. And I was like, cool, we can start at 6. And then I did a dumb thing, and I turned on the most awesome and most depressing show ever, This Is Us. And I started watching it. I'm like, dude, I can get one more episode in. Well, it turns out I couldn't, because then I had to pee and do some other stuff that you have to do. But it was time to go. So we're 20 minutes late and I suck.
Fair enough. But here we are. Yeah. And as Jamie alluded to, this is going to be the EA show. To be fair, I would guess we're probably going to get at least one more EA announcement, probably during the Microsoft press conference. But EA did their EA Play event today. Again, not a press conference, but had a schedule of events of talking about a bunch of different games. And so we'll go through those. The biggest one being Star Wars, which we'll end with. And so we'll kind of go in reverse order here, because Star Wars is honestly the only one we're probably going to spend much time talking about. But worth mentioning what else they talked about, because it's not anything new. They didn't make any big announcements. We weren't expecting them to, really, but they didn't. And so the Sims 4 is still a thing. That game has legs. How long has the Sims 4 been out for at this point? It's been out for a long time.
7 expansions.
Yeah. That's nuts. And so the newest one is going to be Island Living, which, as the name implies, puts you on an island with, like, mermaids and stuff and an active volcano, which actually sounds like it could be quite a bit of fun in the Sim world. So, that's the Sims 4. Anything there pique your interest?
Okay, so here's the thing. I love the Sims.
Yes.
And I have not played Sims since, like, the Sims 3. And the problem that EA has with The Sims is that there's just too much of it.
Yeah.
Like, there's no way to, like, pick up that game at this point and play it and have the time to invest in it and do what needs to be done, because there's just too much.
It's so expensive at this point. Like, if you want all those expansion packs, you have to pay for them all. Like, they all cost separately. I don't know what it's up to at this point, but if, like, you're looking at a several hundred dollar investment if you're not already into it, to, like, get into it at what they're at now. And so, yeah, it's just the Sims. I agree with you. I've enjoyed the Sims in the past. It's fun. It's kind of a novel thing that there still really isn't another one of in the gaming industry, at least not on that level. But, man, it feels like a money grab to me, like, all the time. Like, they're just...
Like, I don't think it is, because I was watching the GameSpot people, and the two people that really play The Sims are like, they've done so much with it. And it is amazing, and it has evolved so much. But to get there... To buy all the stuff you gotta have to get there, it's insane.
Yeah, it's become very much just a perpetual game at this point. Like, I don't know that we'll necessarily ever see a Sims 5, just because why? You know, like, the Sims 4, they just keep expanding and adding on to, and they can keep doing that for the foreseeable future. And with that user base that's there, I mean, if they've got people buying it, I don't see why they stop. So that's The Sims. We also saw some new stuff from Madden. And so Madden 2020, of course, coming this year. This is one you texted me and said I might actually want to play. And I agree with you. Like, the new stuff that they're doing in Madden at this point looks pretty cool. And so they have a story mode, which is becoming pretty common in all of these games. We talked about FIFA's last year. NBA 2K, of course, has there. By the way, NBA 2K is $3 on PlayStation Network right now. PlayStation's having a big sale for State of Play. And you can, I bought it because it was $3. You can get NBA 2K19 for $3 on the...
You know, we have it because we have PlayStation Plus, so, like, I understand $3, but...
We don't have 2K19. We had 2K whatever.
Oh, 19. You yeah. said 19.
Yeah, it's the latest one is the one that's $3 right now.
Yeah, I gotta go
and
pick
it
that
has,
up.
That was another one last year that had a big story mode component to it. And so, like, that's becoming a bigger thing. And so now Madden's got one where you can have a quarterback that, like, you start in the college playoffs, and so you get to pick, I think they said, 10 Division I schools. You get to pick which Division I school you want to be a part of. And then go through the college football playoffs, go through the draft, and then bring that quarterback up through the league, which sounds cool. And then they have this whole new slate of, like, abilities that are kind of cool, like these in-the-zone abilities that, like, you can have for different superstars, which I think is really, really fascinating. I want your thoughts on that.
It's fascinating because the reason that I decided, okay, I have to play that, is because it adds that aspect of blitz that everybody loved. You know, blitz and NBA Jam and all of those that were arcadey when we were growing up. And it's not going to be able to top like that, but you get just enough of that to go, hey, here's my guy and here's his focus. And it's specific abilities that those players are actually good at.
Yeah.
Like the example that they gave in the press conference, if you could call it that, which I want to talk about that later. We'll get to that. But they brought up Sam Darnold from the Rams. And as you know, he's a pass rusher. And so when he gets to a certain point, he gets some help with that skill, which I really like.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really cool. They talked about Patrick Mahomes, too, of, like, his, like, in-the-zone ability is the, like, bazooka arm, and he can throw it, like, 80 yards downfield or whatever. But you have to, like, meet certain, like, goals in the game before you can unlock that, like, zone ability or whatever. So, like, for Patrick Mahomes, I think it was you have to complete at least 3 or 4 30-yard passes. And once you do that, then you open up this ability that you can go. And so it does bring in an arcadey element without it being blitz, you know, without it being over-the-top arcadey. And I think that's a good balance for Matt. I think that actually sounds like a lot of fun, honestly. Like, it just, like, is something about the game that gives you now, instead of just, and this is my playing of Madden, like, after a while, like, it just gets repetitive because you're just like, okay, well, I know what plays work for me or whatever, and you just kind of do the same thing. This gives you, like, different incentives to try different things, and so with different players, you're going to have to try, you know, a different play style than maybe you're used to in order to unlock these different abilities, which is cool. Like, that actually makes it more replayable to me.
This coming from a guy that doesn't play online. Everybody that is listening to the show is yelling, going, "You don't play online, you idiot!" but that's why.
But it's interesting that there is this push in all these sports games that have this heavy online focus of single player story modes. Like, they see the value in that, which I really appreciate because I just don't have that much interest in playing any of these games online. But now I have a reason to play these games again, which I haven't really played Madden the past couple of years because it's Madden, you know? Like, I've played Madden, you know, my whole adult life at this point and half of my childhood. It kind of is what it is. Now they're adding in some new stuff that's intriguing again, which is cool. So that I was actually excited about. Didn't expect to come out of the EA thing excited about Madden, but I'm excited about Madden. They also showed off FIFA. The big new thing for FIFA this year is that they have essentially a street mode built into the game. It's called Volta. And they spent a lot of time talking about that and kind of showing off what that feels like and really talking about, like, the culture around that and how they want to recreate that kind of feel of just dudes playing soccer or playing football across the world, you know, like just of that reflection of not just the big, you know, like giant stadium, huge crowds kind of things, but like dudes just playing in, you know, a side lot with a cage around it, because apparently that's a thing.
Have I told you I have a favorite soccer player?
Do ya?
Have you heard of Zlatan?
Yes, yes.
I love me some Zlatan. That dude is awesome. Because he's like our age, and he's a baller.
Yes.
Like, he's the man. Like, he got no hair. Like, he just looks like a dude. And he's a total baller. So, yeah. Like, that's why I want to pick up FIFA at this point, so I can see if I can play a Zlatan.
Fair enough. We saw some Battlefield 5. Battlefield 5 has been around for a bit now, but they announced some new maps, including future plans of doing a Pacific Theater kind of map set, which is cool. I don't know that I'm ever going to pick up Battlefield 5, but it's pretty. It looks like a good shooter. I think people like it. You know, like, it just wasn't something I got excited about.
So, here's the thing with Battlefield and Medal of Honor and Modern Warfare and Call of Duty, and it's that they do what they do every year, and the dudes that play them are like, did you see it?
Yep.
Like, here it is. It's here. It's new. It's going to be cool. And then everybody else is like, okay, yeah. And that's kind of how I felt about that.
Yeah, and to be fair, you're spot on. And I think that's true of every game we've talked about so far. The Sims has its user base. Madden and FIFA have their kind of, like, the people who are going to play it every year that they're really, you know, designing the game for. If they can get me back in, that's a bonus for them. But they're not making Madden for me. They're making Madden for the guys that pick it up every year that play, you know, 100 hours of it online or whatever. And so, like, each one of these, it's interesting thinking of EA as, you know, this big mega publisher. But they really do have pretty niche games. And so something like Battlefield, for the people who play it, and to be fair, they're big niches. Like, they're not like these obscure games, obviously. Madden, you know, regularly, or Battlefield are the best-selling games out there. But they have this hardcore group of people that play those games that they're really trying to get. And so for me, you know, like, Madden, I'm interested in FIFA. It's okay. You know, Battlefield's not really my thing. But I understand why those are prominent things EA wants to talk about.
So, they're niches in the sense that the Battlefield guys, I've just figured this out, the Battlefield guys only play Battlefield, and the COD guys only play COD. And they don't really intermingle, which I think is weird, but that's how niche it is.
Yeah. Yeah, which is bizarre to me, too. But people have their thing, and they're loyal to their thing. And so good for them on that. Speaking of, another one of those to mention really quickly is Apex Legends, which is, of course, EA's Battle Royale, which for Battle Royales is pretty great, apparently, but very much not our thing. So,
well, here's the thing, and I texted you, and I spoke incorrectly, because I basically said it, that whole section was a waste of time. What I should have said is, I'm extraordinarily intrigued by it. I just know I'm not ever going to have the reflexes to even try it and not suck.
Yeah.
And so it's not something that got me, but the new characters that they brought out, like, everything that they're doing with Apex is, I think, as far as Battle Royale is concerned, is absolutely brilliant.
Yeah. I agree with you there. I think they've really got a winner here. And it's fascinating to compare, and it's not an apples to apples comparison here, but to compare Apex Legends, which is killing it, and they put as the second thing that they highlighted after Star Wars, which of course was a big thing everybody was looking forward to. And they mentioned Anthem in like a break between other presentations with like just a quick chat with one of the devs that was basically like, man, I'm sorry, your game sucks. And the guy's like, yeah, we're going to try to figure it out. You know, like Anthem, again, Anthem is not a battle royale, but it is this kind of games as service thing, whatever we're calling that. And it's a $60 game that a lot of people spent money on and were fairly disappointed by. Apex Legends is a free-to-play game that people adore, you know, that has quite the avid fan base at this point. Again, not the same thing, very, very different concepts, but just telling how far, like, Anthem has fallen off the map since last year when it was a big, big, big deal.
It was a huge deal, and I still think the way that games work now, we spent 20 minutes yesterday talking about Destiny, because Destiny was a big deal yesterday. Anthem's going to be around a while, and I think Anthem is going to get to the point where it doesn't suck.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be a year. I think it's going to be a year and a half, but I really feel like we're going to be talking about Anthem as a top title at some point.
I think you're probably right on that. I don't know if I have as much confidence, but it very well could be. And I think they're wise in kind of laying low for a little bit, in that they can then just do like a big relaunch of it, of, you know, say, here's it. Maybe an analogy is not perfect either, but No Man's Sky kind of went through the same thing, right?
Yes.
Like No Man's Sky had all this hype and then launched and kind of fell flat when it launched. And they just kind of sat on it for a while, not sat on it, but worked on it, kind of behind the scenes. And then they essentially did a relaunch of it. And people were like, oh, wow, No Man's Sky is really good now. They could do that with Anthem. They could definitely pull that off. And next year, it's something we're going, oh, yeah, they're going to highlight that at E3 and talk about their new maps or new areas or whatever it is as expansion for Anthem. And it'd be a big deal that people are excited about. And it's this great redemption story, which everybody loves.
Yeah, and the way things are setting up now, and that's the other thing I wanted to mention about this entire press conference, pretty much every one of their games, Apex, Battlefield, I think even FIFA and Madden, they talked about in every single one of them, they talked about seasons and
yes,
starting new seasons, or I think in Battlefield it was chapters. So
yep,
chapter 4 is a new set of maps for Battlefield 5, and then chapter 5 is coming, and that's something that is completely different. It's an add-on to the story, and it's all of that. That's what we're seeing in games now, and that's why I think they have more time, because that's what everybody is doing with games now.
Yeah.
You release a game, and you spent 2.5 years patching it, and then it gets good.
Yeah. Yeah, it is very much the kind of economy of games right now,
and
probably what we'll see going forward. However, and now we'll get into Star Wars, I think that the Star Wars game is a place where that won't happen. They'll do expansions or whatever they want for this, but this is going to be a much more closed system kind of game. And so that's where they started, and where we'll wrap up and spend some time talking about this, because I think there's a lot to discuss here. So they showed Jedi Fallen Order. We had seen the trailer. We've heard a little bit of details about it, and we know it takes place after or in between episodes 3 and 4 in the movie kind of canon. And we found out that it's all canon. The game is canon, which is cool. Now we know, and we've seen some characters we recognize and that kind of stuff. So they showed off the game by highlighting just like 13 minutes of gameplay, and I love that. Sony did that last year, and when we were like, oh, yeah, that's so good. Just show us the game. Don't talk over it. Don't do anything. And they did that with Jedi Fallen Order, and I feel like you just get a really, really good taste of the game that way, and then they come back, and they chat about it, and they talked about some details, didn't chat about a lot of details. We can talk about that as well. But I just love the format of just showing me a chunk of gameplay.
It was good, but the GameSpot guys actually mentioned the fact that they said two or three times that this guy had very obviously worked to make it look good. And that's one of my questions about the game, and part of the reason you're going to be shocked by hearing me say this, but I'm a little bit scared of it. Because I was kind of hoping for more of an RPG type style. I mean, not like a Knights RPG type deal, but more of an RPG type deal. And it's an adventure game. And the only reason I'm scared of it is I think this one's going to require reflexes, which I don't have.
Yeah.
And that's my question is, man, that looked really good. How hard is it going to be able to, for a normal person, to make it look like that?
Yeah, I'm curious about that as well, because you're right. They brought that point up over and over, which was honestly a little bit obnoxious, because I don't want to hear about how great the guy is who's playing this to make it look good. I want to hear, hey, you're going to make this look good. You know, like, you're going to be able to play this and be like this super cool Jedi. You don't have to practice this over and over and over to be a cool Jedi. But I honestly thought while watching it, like, it didn't look like it would be that hard to do what the guy was doing. There's obviously a lot of reflex parts of that, you know. It has a parry system to it, and you can like the enemies have like a block break or something like that. They have a bar that like you can wear down, and then you can do kind of like a finishing move or whatever, which is cool. And so there's obviously going to be that component, I think, of, you know, the comparisons to something like Sekiro came up over and over, but even something like God of War or something like that, that you kind of have to be tactical in that. But you can still make it look cool. Like, playing God of War, like, it looks cool. Like, even if I'm just button mashing, you know? Like, it's fun. Like, there's something just visceral about it. And I want that to be true for a Star Wars game, obviously. Like, if you're playing as a Jedi, you want to feel cool, basically, regardless of how you're approaching. Of course, if you suck at the game, you know, maybe it shouldn't look cool at that point. But if you're capable, like, it shouldn't be like you have to practice and practice and practice to make it look cool. And the way they talked about it, even just like a month ago when they were talking details on it, that they had mentioned that, like, the combat, I don't remember exactly the terminology they used, but they made it sound very approachable, like it was something about intuitive, you know, something combat, that I was almost worried that it would be too simplistic. And I don't think that's what we saw today. And so I'm hoping that lands at a good balance. I'm a little worried that it's going to be like, if you don't know, like, all these, you know, combo things, that you're just like randomly flailing a lightsaber about.
Yeah, which I don't really want to do that.
No, I don't either. And so I'm interested to hear more of the hands-on as more people get to play it. Which at least it sounds like there's going to be some closed door stuff that some press people will get some hands on, and maybe that'll give us a little better hint of what that gameplay is going to be like.
I will tell you that I'm excited about it, but I'm less excited about it than when we started, because I texted you after watching it and said, this is a spiritual successor to The Force Unleashed, which I played probably 10 or 15 hours of the original. I really, really like. I would like for you to sit down and play it with me, because I played it on mouse and keyboard, and it's not really that much fun on the mouse and keyboard. And that's why I have not finished it, because it's not really that much fun.
Sure.
But there's a lot of Force Unleashed in this. Like, it's like they saw that game and they're like, okay, we'll take this and then we'll add to it. One thing I want to say is this game is visually spectacular.
Yeah, it is pretty. And the combat especially, I think, looks really good. Again, not even just the like the mechanics of the combat, but just the visuals. Like, they got lightsabers right. They got the force right. They got the environment right. You know, like, even though we saw this kind of what felt like a small area of the game, like, it feels like they got that Star Wars feel vibe well done. A couple of things I wanted to mention this and I forgot. On the kind of RPG-ish elements, there was one hint to this during the gameplay that there's a point where it says that he has a skill point to spend. He never does it. Yes. And so, like, I would have loved to have seen, even though, like, it said at the very beginning, like, this is alpha footage still or whatever. Like, this is a game that's not super close. It's close-ish, but still has work to do. And so, like, maybe they just aren't ready to show off what, like, skill trees look like. But I really wanted to see that. Like, okay, like, now tell us about, like, we're powering up, you know, our force powers or whatever. Does that give you greater range on, like, your force push or your force pull? Or there will be at least something there that has that. But overall, like, to me, I went into it expecting, like, Uncharted Star Wars. And right from the beginning, it felt like Uncharted Star Wars with, like, a, you know, Sekiro combat system or something like that. Like, it feels like that's kind of the blend. The developers even said they pulled a lot from Metroid Prime. Like, that's where a lot of their inspiration came from as well, which to me is thrilling because I love Metroid
Prime. Yeah, that's good. I like that.
Yeah. And so there's a lot of bones there that feel like they should be good. When we get the game, we'll see how it's executed. I could easily see this being like a Metacritic, like 75 to 80 game. That's like pretty fun and that you enjoy it, but it's not like the best game you ever played. And I would be okay with that. That's better than what most Star Wars stuff we get is. And it is narrative driven. It is a single player experience. We didn't get much story because they won't tell us much story at this point. And so, again, we know that we have this Jedi who, you know, survived, essentially was a Padawan. We saw, what's the guy's name from Rogue One? That Forrest Whitaker played in Rogue One.
I can't. Twice.
Yeah. It starts with an S something Guerrero. Anyway,
Saw Guerrero.
Thank you. He's in this game a little bit younger, not quite as beat up as we saw him in Rogue One. But like I said, there's canon, Cal that you play. That's the main, character is a canon, character in the Star Wars canon universe. What's considered canon still, cause there's all kinds of stuff at this point that's not, they talked about the fact that you don't get a choice of going light or dark. Like, you're a Jedi. This game is narrative driven about this character who has a path. Like, you're traveling that path. And I really like that. Like, I love the open world of Knights. I love the choices, you know, can take you one way or the other and all that kind of stuff. But I also really love Uncharted. I keep going back to that. But Uncharted is Nathan Drake. You don't change Nathan Drake's personality in Uncharted. He is who he is. And that's one of the things that's fun about the game. This guy, to be honest, hasn't captivated me that way yet. But I still love the idea that you're just playing this story. Like, you're not creating the story. We talked about that last year at E3, that there was all this, like, you know, you are the story thing. And I don't love that always. I sometimes just want to, like, sit back and watch somebody else play through, and that, or not play through, but somebody else's story unfold while you're playing. And that's what it feels like we're going to get here.
And I hope they can pull it off. And I think part of our hesitancy about what we're going to get with this is that we don't know about the story. We don't know about the character.
Yes.
And they can't tell us because Disney said no.
Yeah.
Which I think is really funny. He said Lucasfilm, but Lucas is off, you know, on an island somewhere.
Right.
So it's about Disney, and they can't talk about it because it's not time yet. And I just really think it's funny that these two guys are answering to Mickey Mouse. Like, seriously, they're like, that's what they're doing. And I feel really bad.
Yeah,
for those guys.
I hear you there. Speaking of cute companions, though, just to try to bridge that gap, one more thing I wanted to bring up, just because it's cool. There is a companion droid, a partner droid here, as we come to expect with Star Wars at this point. Everybody has a droid buddy. This one is actually named BD-1, which stands for Buddy Droid 1. And so, little bitty droid that, like, rides on Cal's back. And so, just, like, hangs out, but, like, interacts with the environment. It's obviously going to play a big part of the story, because the droids always play a big part of the story. There's a good chance, knowing Star Wars, that there's going to be some sappy droid death scene at the end of this with BD-1, who you're going to be very attached to. But also, it looks like there's going to be some interactions with the world via BD-1, which could create some cool gameplay mechanics as well.
Do you have a screen in front of you, sir, that's on... Uh-huh. Can you pull up the picture of him? I want you to look at something for me. Just real quick while we're on the air. Because I want you to remember something from our childhood. Look at that robot and tell me he doesn't look like a mini Johnny Five.
Yeah, I knew that's exactly where you were going. He absolutely does. I caught that too. Like, just the eyes, the kind of head shape or whatever, has that feel to it. Very much so.
I can't wait to hear Johnny Five is alive. And if you don't get that reference, look it up.
Yeah, y'all are younger than we are if y'all don't get that, which God bless you. But yes, I got that. Also, on just the super cool, like, nerdy, ridiculous Star Wars thing, or nerdy sound person thing, they did say that Ben Burtt is doing the voicing of BD-1, and Ben Burtt, of course, is the legendary sound designer who did the original trilogy for Star Wars, has helped with all the Star Wars movies, but is the guy who came up with the sound of the lightsaber and the speeder and the blasters and all of those Star Wars sounds that you know. R2-D2, like, all of that is Ben Burtt, and now Ben Burtt is here voicing this droid in this game, which is just super cool. Like, again, ridiculously nerdy thing. But, like, that to me was like, oh well, I've absolutely got to play it, because if Ben Burtt's involved, like, I'm on board.
And that's what's crazy about this, is that I feel like you're gonna get our money regardless of whether it's good or not, because they've got enough of those Star Wars points for us that it's like, yeah, well, we kind of gotta pick it up.
Absolutely. There's no doubt about it. We will play this game. It's just, how good is it? I really hope it's a good game. I really hope, like, again, it's Uncharted-ish in that delivery of the narrative with a fun combat mechanic. Like, it could be a really cool feeling title. So, all that said, just last thoughts about EA's general approach to E3 this year.
Meh. Okay. Here's where I'm gonna get a little curmudgeon-y.
Yes, please do.
And this is not just about EA. I think this is about how I feel about everything this year. But I'm at my house, you're at your house, and this is Saturday. And we're doing episode 2 of E4. And you want to know why? Because we've already had 2, quote-unquote, state-of-play things. And we've got, like, 4 of them tomorrow on Sunday.
Yeah.
E3 doesn't even really start until, like, Monday.
Tuesday, really. The show floor opens on Tuesday.
Well, everything's going to be done by Monday. Yeah. So my only real complaint with the new format is I feel like it's too early. Is that just me?
I mean, I think that goes into a bigger, like, overall thing of what E3 is becoming, in that, like, everybody wants to be earlier, because the actual show floor of E3 at this point, it isn't a big deal, right? Like, all, and this has been true for the last several years, all the news is done by the time Nintendo's Nintendo Direct is over. Like, there's nothing that happens after noon on Tuesday, and that's right when the show floor opens. So it has become like E3 is really about the pre-show and not the the actual event itself. And then that's the time that, you know, all these stage demos happen. That kind of stuff's really fun. We dig that, and we'll be talking about that stuff too. But it's not news. It's no announcements. There's nothing that breaks there.
I'll give you that, dude, but we started yesterday, which was Friday.
It gets early and earlier every year, for sure. And to be fair, the Stadia thing wasn't, quote-unquote, officially part of E3 weekend. But they did it here because of E3. Like, let's not pretend that they didn't do it with that relationship. To me, the bigger thing is just the new kind of presentation model that I didn't... Like, I like the general approach of what EA did because it's similar in a lot of ways to what Sony did last year.
Can we get those guys less energy drinks, please?
Yeah,
holy,
that's the thing. the overall presentation of it is just just falls a little flat for me. Like, it feels very contrived and weird.
Like,
and just,
they're all really amped, and they're feeling great, and let's go, this is awesome! I can't do it.
Yeah, I really liked when they were talking about the games and talking about mechanics or showing off gameplay or whatever. The kind of like, let's make this about the personalities involved too. Yeah, that side of it I'm not a big fan of.
Who was the guy in the Apex conference? The guy with the handle? Some guy. I can't even remember.
Like an esports broadcaster.
I wanted to write him, but they kept calling him by the handle, and I'm like, dude, I don't know who you are.
Yeah.
But, like, I think at some point he referred to himself in third person, and I was like, okay, that's it. You're done. Goodbye.
Yeah.
Like, I understand you guys think you're cool, but... Just talk about the software.
Yeah, I agree
with
that.
And act like normal people.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying. Act like normal people, because we're all adults. You're not going out to... That's the thing about E3, especially the last couple of years. It's not about 12-year-olds. It's about 30 and 40-year-olds.
Absolutely.
Like... Yeah. We're the ones that are watching it.
Yeah.
So I feel like you need to adjust.
I agree. I understand why they think they need to do that. And maybe there's some people who are into it. I have a hard time seeing that there are like people that are like, oh yeah, that dude from EA was so funny, like hosting. Nah, that's not what people are there for, man. People want to see Star Wars, like, keep your jokes. Let's see Star Wars, you know? Like, that's... I'm with you. That's us being old and curmudgeon-y. But to be fair, I think, like you said, E3 is an event at this point for old and curmudgeon-y people like us more so than it is for the kiddos. So, that being said...
I apologize for going there. That just...
No,
started,
it's a good point. I had the same thought. So
For crying out loud. Like, I can't even... At this point, I can't even remember the guy's handle, but they used it like four times, and I'm like, come on, dude.
Yeah.
Really? Like, you got a name. Just go with it.
Yeah. I'm with you there. So.
Yeah.
That said, that's EA's event so far. We know that Star Wars is going to be part of the Microsoft conference. They said that during the presentation. And so there again, I would say there's a chance for some announcement from EA. I think the most likely one is Skate. That's what everybody's like waiting to hear about Skate 4. And so I think there's a good chance that we see Skate 4 during the Microsoft press conference as a decent-sized EA announcement that apparently a lot of people want. I was kind of surprised by that, but it has a big following like these other games do. So
that reminds me. I was going to ask you if you noticed... When they ran the Star Wars footage, it actually opened with an Xbox logo, which
I did see that.
That was a little bizarre to me, I thought.
And at some point after it or something, it said best played on Xbox. Yeah, I did pick up on that too. I'm glad you brought that up. And I think we'll see more of that just because Sony's not there. And so, like, if you want to tie in to somebody who's at E3, it's either Microsoft or Nintendo, and we're probably not seeing Fallen Order on the Switch. And so it's Microsoft at that point. So, yeah, I imagine we'll see a lot of third-party stuff at Microsoft, because why not? They're not going to be at Sony. You know, like, they get a chance to brand, you know, Jedi Fallen Order as a Microsoft game, even though obviously it's going to be on the PlayStation as well, and on the PC, I would imagine, at some point. But they get a chance to have that branded as, you know, their thing. Even, like, I think of Rockstar games still as being Sony games predominantly because of all the years of them being at Sony, even after showing up at Microsoft with the tattoo and everything else. I did pick up on that. It was interesting.
Yeah, I think we're going to see a lot of that. And to me, I think it's going to change kind of the way E3 goes. As far as we have to keep in mind that none of these are exclusive. We always hear world premiere or exclusive, and you have to count it, how many exclusives. None of this stuff is exclusive anywhere. If we see one exclusive this year, I might fall out of my chair.
Well, we'll see some with Microsoft and Nintendo. But Microsoft, at least insofar as Xbox and PC.
Yeah, I hope we see some stuff from Nintendo, but we'll see.
Yeah. we know we'll see some stuff. I just don't know if we'll see anything new. Microsoft said they've got, I think it's 14 exclusives that they're planning on showing, and so we'll see. But all that being said, that's EA. We're going to watch Microsoft show tomorrow, and we'll talk about Microsoft more then. But for now, we got to get out of here.
All right, so you know where everything's at. You know where the Facebook's at. You know how to get to the voicemail line at
509-GAME-210.
And, of course, we will put together whatever comes through on that. May not play this week, but we will get to it, we promise. Please interact with us. Come see us. We got conversations going on over the Facebook. This is our favorite time of the year because it's all about you guys. So definitely, definitely, definitely get involved. We got to say thanks to the Patreon guys because they're what allows us to do this every year.
Yeah, we forgot that on the first show, and I almost forgot on this show. So thanks for bringing that up. Cabbage, Jose, Narc, Duff, Josh, Hector, Spider, Spencer, Kavash, Chad, Zeke, Chris, and Brigham. Thank you guys a ton. And you will be getting Patreon content. It will be coming, we promise.
Yes, absolutely. It is coming, so stay tuned for that. Other than that, we are done for right now. This is Gaming Uncensored's continuing coverage of E3 2019. It's the Electronics Entertainment Expo Extravaganza, and it's only on GamingUncensored.com, and we are out. Is brought to you by Colonel Duff. Duff, helping a random handicapped guy in the middle of nowhere. Only on Gaming Uncensored.